Happy Monday, family. Welcome to WWT Live. Today on the show, we are indeed becoming immortal with the announcement of a brand new documentary from WWE. Plus, exactly how much money is Mercedes making? We'll get into all of that and more. You are locked in to WWT Live.
What is popping, you beautiful humans? It's your girl, Ariane Andrew, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
To all my people in the struggle, that was very Kirk Franklin-ish of me. My apologies. Hey, what's going on, good people? It is Monday, WWT Live here on Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. I am your professor, Gerard Bonner, GB, whatever you feel like calling me. And there's a lot to talk about after another very, very busy weekend in the space of pro wrestling. And there's a lot to get into. And of course, I am not alone like the great Michael Jackson. She is here with me, and that is Wrestling with Honey. Honey, how are you?
I am groovy. Let's get into it. Another week, another day has gone by. We're another Monday into another Monday night and another week of wrestling. And it's just nonstop. It's nonstop, guys.
That's right. The beat goes on as we are a full 19 days until WrestleMania, which is crazy when you think about it. A whole 19 days, just absolutely unbelievable. How was your weekend?
It was pretty chill. Very nice and chill. The weather was actually really very nice this weekend. It did chill, cold, like, you know, it got a little cooler today in the 40s right now up here. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but you know, I think that's just the weather telling us, don't get too spoiled, you know, just watch yourselves and still bundle up, you know, but it was good.
Well, it is officially the last day of winter, as tomorrow's the first day of spring. So I guess winter's saying, aha, I've got one last thing to say, but winter will be out of here tomorrow, though there certainly hasn't been a cold or dry season in the space of pro wrestling because things have been red hot for sure. So some good stuff. So let's start with perhaps the biggest news of the day, which just dropped a couple of hours ago. And this, of course, is dealing with a brand new documentary that is going to be released on Peacock. It has been announced that WWE will release a documentary called Bray Wyatt, Becoming Immortal. It's looking at the life and times of the late, great Bray Wyatt, aka Wyndham Rotunda. Now, there are a lot of really interesting things about this. For one, there are some interviews involving Bray Wyatt himself. Some never-before-seen footage from the WWE archives. There are interviews with everyone from Hulk Hogan and John Cena to Becky Lynch and Triple H. And a certain Undertaker will be narrating this documentary. The trailer is out there for everybody to check out, and it will drop on April the 1st, which, of course, kicks off WrestleMania week. That's exactly what, 2 weeks from today, actually. It is 2 weeks from today that the documentary will be available. Have you had a chance to check out the trailer, and what are your thoughts on this documentary dropping?
I have seen the trailer quite a few times already, and I'm very much anticipating this, but I'm also emotionally not ready. But I know that this is going to be a really good documentary to watch, being that we all know the impact this superstar had on us, and then to have the interviews, the people that are being interviewed. I've also, if I'm not mistaken, I think I did see JoJo in that trailer as well, which I think it's going to make this even more emotionally difficult to watch. Yeah. And kudos to her for being so brave to be able to do this. And then for The Undertaker to narrate it, I don't think it gets any more special than that, especially it pretty much goes to show the impact Wyndham had on everyone in that locker room, including, you know, people that came before him. And it's definitely gonna show us into the mastermind, I think, that we already kind of know he was behind the scenes, but it's gonna be nice to get an in-depth look at it. I'm excited, mm-hmm. but I'm emotionally not ready. So it's like, I want WrestleMania week to get here, but damn, this is what we're kicking it off with. So it goes mm-hmm. to show you how special this year is going to be alone. And for it to kick off the 40th, you know, the 40th, it's crazy. I love it.
It is going to be crazy. It's going to absolutely be crazy. You're right. One thing that WWE has always mastered is the ability to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And they really go into their bag when it goes to documentaries. Just pretty much any documentary, WWE 24/7, 365, any of those kinds of deals have been incredible. And then when you look at what they've done in their deal with A&E, how they partner with them on those biographies and the superstar stories, they just masterfully tell stories. And you're right. I don't know if we are emotionally prepared for what we may see in 2 weeks. Just the idea that JoJo was in the trailer.
Yeah.
When I saw her, like, my heart, like, and, oh my God, like, mm-hmm. we're going here.
Yeah. You know?
So this is going to be a major, major thing. Again, it will premiere on Peacock 2 weeks from today, April the 1st. And, yeah, let's get to some of these comments, and then I'll throw something out that I'm hearing, and I'm not sure how people are going to respond to it, but so be it. Matt, good to see you. Bobby, good to see you. Boza, good to see you as well, says, I haven't seen the trailer, but first impression, I agree with Honey. Sure, it will be a great piece, but it's still fresh, his shocking death, absolutely. Cousin Ron, good to see you as well. Undertaker had all the respect for Bray Wyatt. He certainly did. R.I.P. Bray Wyatt. Shout out to all of you in the chat, and there are probably 6 or 7 times as many of you watching us right now, so feel free to hop in the chat and connect with us. And if you don't, it's okay. We're glad that you're watching, but we certainly love conversing with you. Now, there's a rumor that's floating around, because I think a lot of people, I know I was of the impression, a lot of people have been asking the question, will Bray Wyatt end up being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year? I have heard that as of right now, that is not part of the plan, which makes me wonder if this documentary was a bit more part of the plan. And if that's the case, you know, I think it's still cool. I mean, obviously, I think he's earned a place in the Hall of Fame, whether that happens now, a year from now, 2 years from now, I think it'll still be all right. There's a part of me also that wonders if putting him in the Hall of Fame is too emotionally taxing for his family right now.
True.
You know, I mean, I can only imagine how taxing it may have been to do this documentary. But the idea of being in public, you know, with all the fans that are around for something like this, I think they have to be emotionally ready. And we kind of already know that with the U.S. Express being inducted, that, of course, being his father, Mike Rotundo, and his uncle, Barry Windham, there's already going to be a Bray presence. Like, you kind of know that already. So so I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We still have a couple of weeks before the Hall of Fame, but it kind of looks like that won't happen this year. And if it doesn't, I still think it's okay. Boza makes an interesting comment. I could see Paul Levesque having respect for JoJo and not rushing this. When we lost Eddie, Vince put him in the first chance he got. If not this year, I could see it next year in Minneapolis, which I don't know if they've officially announced Minneapolis yet. So, because I've heard some conflicting things on where 41 will be. But I do think that there's a strong respect factor here for Bray Wyatt, for his family, which is likely why they are not doing the induction now. And speaking of Hall of Fame, I don't know that I meant to go here yet, but we're here. A very interesting piece of news, since we're talking about the Hall of Fame, came out. And at first I wasn't sure of how to take it, but to be perfectly honest with you, Well, I'll tell you my thoughts after I share the news. So the Hall of Fame obviously is a thing, and most people did not know that Vince McMahon actually had a particular rule around selections for the Hall of Fame. And while Vince McMahon is no longer with the company, and the company has certainly made a lot of efforts to distance itself from Vince McMahon and some of his practices, it is widely believed that this particular practice connected to the Hall of Fame is very much still in power. So according to Dave Meltzer, there was a certain formula that Vince McMahon had when it came to choosing members to be in a particular Hall of Fame class. And he felt like Hall of Fame classes each had to contain the following. They had to contain at least one women's wrestler and one African-American wrestler. That was the belief. And so if you look at this year's class, you've got Bull Nakano, which would check the particular box for the women's side of things. You've got Thunderbolt Patterson and Muhammad Ali, who are serving in the role of the African-American wrestlers, in addition to some of the other talent that's in there. So my question is, what are your thoughts on this formula? Do you believe that this formula is good? Is it bad? Is it unnecessary? What are your thoughts?
I personally don't even understand like how that formula even would come to fruition. If I'm in the mind of Vince McMahon, okay. But I mean, I'm. It's hard. It's really hard because if Vince McMahon's not a part of it, why keep it going if you're literally trying to deter all kind of rules and regulations that he might have had and terms and agreements that he might have had, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, why keep on with it? But I couldn't say if it's good or it's bad. I could just say that maybe it's a lightly unnecessary, but I don't see why it should even still exist if Vince isn't in the picture at all. Anyway, I mean, anybody is worthy of being in the Hall of Fame, especially if they've had a huge impact in the wrestling business. But I mean, for all the right reasons, it would have to be. But I just can't say that I agree with exactly his terms of how that presents itself.
So it's interesting. When I first read this story, there was an initial inclination to be like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. As I thought it through, I thought to myself, first of all, I think terminologies are important. Right. Some people use the word quota. I think the word formula is a bit more accurate. And here's why. I think the challenge that you have, if you don't have certain criteria, whatever your criteria are for whatever it is that you're doing, you run the risk of it lacking balance. I will say that, for all of the misgivings that Vince McMahon has allegedly had, I do think that as time has progressed, there have been certain things that have been done to ensure a degree of equity and equality in terms of how things are being presented. To me, to ensure that there is representation for women and representation for African Americans in each class of the Hall of Fame says to me that you are making a conscious effort to ensure that those parts of the wrestling community are well represented and represented in your highest honor. Mm-hmm. And so for a sport that has historically leaned, much like society has, towards Caucasian, let me say this fully clearly, Caucasian straight males, I think it does take intentionality to ensure that there is diversity in your Hall of Fame classes. And if you're in control of it, you get to really help ensure that that's the case. Now, to me, where this would be a problem right. is if the people that are going into the Hall of Fame don't have the kind of career that reflects that, such that we would only be saying, well, you only put this person in to check this box.
Right.
So when we look, across the full annals of the Hall of Fame, you know, I've seen, and I'll tell you now, I've seen people enter the Hall of Fame not knowing this criteria where I was like, I don't think this person should be in there. And I want to be careful naming names because I don't want anybody to think I'm a hater or whatever. But there are some people over the last few years who have entered the Hall of Fame that I've gone, when I measure their career and think about what they've contributed, I don't see them as a Hall of Famer. Because we have to... What's hard about, and before I continue this thought, he's in from the streets, and I think he's going to have a great, great, great deal of perspective to add to this conversation. The mayor is here, or at least I think he's here. Maybe, okay, we'll wait. He's not ready to make his entrance yet. Got to make sure he's ready. He's got to make an entrance. But I think, you know, when we think about the Hall of Fame, it is important that whomever enters are people whose careers we go, yes, that makes sense.
Right.
You know, yes, they've contributed. And if we're unaware of their contributions, that the powers that be make us aware. So we go, yes. What I don't like in a Hall of Fame induction is if it's a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. That's hard to make sense of. But, you know, if you look at, for instance, this year's class, nobody has had an argument about anybody that's going in for this year's class. Thunderbolt Patterson, Muhammad Ali, the U.S. Express, Bull Nakano, Paul Heyman. Nobody's had an issue.
That?
You know what I mean? It's one of the, and I've said it before, it's one of the strongest classes that they've given us. And when I looked at this, I didn't think to myself, formula. I thought this made sense. Which then tells me that historically they've done a fairly solid job in terms of making sure there's been an even and level playing field with people from all spaces represented inside of the hall. Let's bring him in now, the mayor of all things Vice City. He is here. Set is in the building. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's actually a decent Monday. I can't complain. Hopefully you guys are having a great day. Sorry, I'm a little bit late. Was tending to some government business, but wanted to be here for you guys.
I love to see it. I love to see it. So as you can tell, we are in this conversation about the Hall of Fame and the word that has gone out that Vince McMahon had a formula for who enters the Hall of Fame and that each Hall of Fame class is to include at least one woman and at least one person of African-American descent. The WWE has chosen to continue this particular policy. What are your thoughts on this being part of the formula in terms of a Hall of Fame class?
So I hadn't read that. So thank you for catching me up and explaining that. That is tough because I feel like that's something that is being heavily discussed in society recently. So that kind of blurs that line a lot. I do absolutely feel like representation matters, not only in the sport itself, but in representation for how we got the sport to carve out the way to where we are now. But that criteria, if there's going to be like a blanket criteria, like I don't have a problem with it, because I feel like you shouldn't have to stretch far back to see a person of minority or a woman who's actually shaped the sport, like seeing Bull Nakano get in and some of those wrestlers when women's wrestling wasn't at its peak, they should absolutely be acknowledged because they're pioneers of the sport. But you know, there's going to be certain people who kind of push back against this when really we're just paying homage. And at the end of the day, like I think everybody who was a entertainer for anybody for any period of time, you got to at least respect what they've done for the sport. So I personally don't have a problem with it, but I know that really hits close to home when a lot of the talking points and in politics and government right now. So I guess we got to take, like, I feel like we got to take a wait and see approach to see how that affects the future years of Hall of Fame inductions.
Now this is something that's interesting. And again, I say this respectfully, you know, this news came from Dave Meltzer. And I say that because I look at the class of 2023, which was last year's class. Let me read this class to you, and then you tell me, number one, if you see the elements of the formula that I mentioned, and number two, if these names are deserving. Okay? Hall of Fame class of 2023 included Rey Mysterio, the Great Muta, Stacy Keibler. The celebrity wing went to Andy Kaufman, and the Warrior Award went to Tim White. Now, if you need any help with that particular class, you'll notice there was one woman, that being Stacy Keibler. And some may argue whether or not you feel like she should or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. There were no people of African-American descent in last year's class. So I don't know if this was fully accurate or not. This was also a kind of a weird time for WWE in terms of Vince just returning and them getting ready for sale, et cetera, et cetera. So that is the 2023 year. 2022, I'll tell you what that looks like. But first, what do you think of that 2023 class in light of what we just heard?
I have a hard time, like, telling somebody they're undeserving of being in the Hall of Fame. Like, I just don't see myself doing that. Like, why would I? Yeah, why would I be like, oh yeah, that person doesn't belong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of struggle with that notion too. It's just like, unless you give us a name that pinpoints, like one of the examples you say, where it's like there's a name mentioned and it's like you look at their career, and it's like, I don't know if you really deserve to be there. Like, maybe if there's an instance that way, but I struggle with that too.
And what's also hard when it comes to the WWE Hall of Fame is there's not all of the criteria right now are in all of our heads. Like, there's not, like, for instance, with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there is clear criteria. You know,
people were pissed about that, though.
But for instance, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, your first album had to be commercially available 25 years ago. So when you know that that's like the measuring stick, then you know Drake's not going in right now. You know what I mean? But you're not mad at it because you understand that. I think part of the challenge with the WWE Hall of Fame is we don't know what qualifies you as a Hall of Famer. We all just assume based on what our own, you know, individual criteria are. Here's 2022. Class of 2022. The Steiner Brothers, mm-hmm. Queen Charmel, Shad Gaspard, who received the Warrior Award, Vader, and The Undertaker.
I don't think anybody would snarl at that list unless they want to, like, cherry pick Charmel.
Right.
You know,
and again, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's funny about that list is that I remember watching that year and thinking that that's kind of a short list. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like mm-hmm. some one or two could have been also in there as well.
Now, we also have to remember that starting in 2022 is when they moved the Hall of Fame to Friday night right after SmackDown. Because remember, 2020 and 2021, they didn't have the Hall of Fame ceremony specifically because of COVID. And for the 2021 one, it was pre-recorded and they combined the 2020 and 2021 ceremonies. So 2022 was your first Hall of Fame on a two-night WrestleMania, which automatically shortened the class, as we've heard. So these classes are shorter than previous classes, which I think is interesting. So all of those things to consider. I think it's an interesting think piece. Again, you know, given all the names that have been mentioned, I think there are arguments to be made for all of them in terms of who should be in the Hall of Fame, who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, et cetera, et cetera. Either way, a very interesting piece of news. And there's not been a lot of talk in the chat except for this comment, which says, considering history, maybe this formula was a preventative measure to make sure people who deserve it aren't being looked over. And that's kind of where I'm leaning. I don't see this as a bad thing at all. I see this as a way to ensure that WWE's Hall of Fame actually has equity and parity. And I think that that's a good thing, all things considered. So very interesting. From there, we go to someone who potentially is a future Hall of Famer, but could be questionable for WrestleMania after what happened Friday night. Asuka, there's a lot of concern. If you watched SmackDown during the main event, Asuka ended up in the ring at some point and was limping, could not put a lot of weight on one of her legs. She was not actually in the match. She was just outside with damage control, ended up being involved in the ring, and again was limping. I went to a live event show over the weekend in Augusta and noticed that Asuka was not present. There was a match involving the tag team champions, and taking her place was Io Sky, which, by the way, they fought Bianca Belair and Naomi. That's a stinking dream team, and I may talk about that experience at some point. But
whoa,
the new, I'm sorry,
no, I was saying whoa to that team.
Oh yeah, like just amazing. But the news right now surrounding Asuka is that she was indeed pulled from the live event shows from this weekend, which I obviously saw. And they're saying that this could be a knee injury that she has suffered. We do not know the extent of it. As of this moment, they weren't booked to defend the women's titles. But you've got to imagine that they certainly there was a plan for it. How this will impact WrestleMania, we don't know just yet. So we might find out more information tonight, perhaps on Raw or maybe on the WWE socials. But we certainly wish a very speedy recovery to Asuka. And we hope that this really isn't a big issue, because we certainly would love to see her go into WrestleMania as a tag team champion. Moving
all
on.
The injuries suck. I gotta feel like that they were leaning into a possible six women tag. So maybe they're just being precautious with everything. Cause I think with all the back and forth, and now Naomi stepped in, and we had that pivotal conversation with Naomi and Bianca a couple weeks ago. Now that, and I feel like the third is going to be Jade, with all the stuff Jade's been doing back and forth on social media with Dakota and the rest of Damage Control. So I think they're just trying to protect that, if anything.
Now, I hadn't considered that, but that makes sense.
That's funny you bring her name up. I was going to bring her name up, but for a different reason. That's crazy.
The Jade conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, there's some interest.
I was going to bring her up as far as like predicting that she was going to get involved between Nia and Becky. Being that she eliminated Nia, and tonight there's a last woman standing match with Becky and Nia. I don't know. So her name could come up on both ends if you want. She could definitely do double duty. We know that. Yep. I'm sure she'd be more than capable. So I don't know. We might be onto something there, guys.
Yeah. That would be not just, I mean, those three in a six woman tag on our screen together. This is what I have. I might cry. That would
that would make me smile.
Yeah, it would be an absolutely beautiful moment. So we'll see. Talking about women with power, we've got to talk about Mercedes Moné, who's been the talk of all things pro wrestling ever since her debut in AEW Wednesday night. There's been a lot of news about Mercedes. And of course, one of the big pieces of news is what exactly is her contract looking like? How long do we see her in AEW? Well, we certainly know that there is a regular contract that's in there. So she's going to be there for a little while. But what we also are hearing is that apparently, she is right now believed to be the highest paid women's wrestler in the business right now, thanks to this contract from AEW. What are your thoughts on this, guys?
Money, 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 money. I mean, hey, it's going to the right space, if you ask me. She is where the money goes, and she goes where the money goes. You know what I mean? Like, she's the boss, she's the CEO, and if you're gonna put that title on her, you better run that money like it is. You know what I'm saying? And she's more than deserving of it. I can't believe that she's the highest paid woman in the business right now, which is it's a huge peak for her, I think, for sure. I think this is definitely going to be the most money she ever makes in her career, and I think this is something she's been looking forward to for a long time. So get your bag, sis.
There it is. Said.
Yeah, like, there's so much discourse in the timeline about this. People responding to it negatively, a lot of positive. I think we got to take a moment to appreciate the history that's here. This is a Black woman that is the highest paid woman in sports entertainment. That is history right there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when pocket watching became a thing where we care about how much money somebody else is making, but congratulations, Mercedes, because you bet on yourself, and that's what matters. Mm-hmm. This is the results of betting on yourself and believing in what you bring to the table, and we're seeing the fruits of her labor. So that's awesome. All I can say is I look forward to seeing what she's doing, and let me hold a dollar.
Let me hold something. I think you raised such a powerful point there in terms of, you know, we're living in a space where an African-American woman is the highest paid wrestler in the business. That's incredible. I also think, and I need to say this, in terms of pocket watching, I think it's amazing to me how sometimes wrestling fans can kind of get on this high horse and get upset with people for holding out for money. You know, as if
happens in every other sport,
every other sport,
everywhere else,
you know, not even just sports. You're right. Everywhere they're life. Going out for the money. And I think the idea that wrestlers should only do something for the love of it, I think that's unfair to them. If every other sport can hold out until they're paid what they believe they're worth, I believe wrestlers have the opportunity to do that as well. And here again, you know, this is the advantage of having multiple companies. This is why you don't want an AEW to die. Because when one company is the only company in town, it's hit or miss. You know, with a situation like AEW, you know, and I say this for everybody who didn't think AEW was doing what they needed to do, they obviously can come up with enough money to pay Okada the way they're paying him, and to pay Monet the way they're paying him, and nobody is complaining at AEW that my check bounced. So, you know, I think this is another reason why it's important to have multiple players, because again, if they have the capital and they can do it, boom, you know.
You got to investigate that, because the Jags ain't winning no playoff games. Now that you say that, I need to know.
But you know, Tony Khan has got money in a lot of places. You know, he's got money in a lot of places. And so I'm here for it. And congratulations to Mercedes. In addition, a lot of people were talking about her brand new theme song as well. Well, her theme song, CEO, is now available at all streaming outlets. And in case you did not know it, Mercedes actually is the artist on said song. Not to be confused with said's song. You see what I did there? So I just want to be clear. Now here's what's interesting. The internet wrestling community is not necessarily being kind to the released version of this. I think a lot of people liked what they heard Wednesday night. And now that they get to hear the whole theme song, everyone isn't as kind or loving of it. What do you guys think of Mercedes' new single?
All I know is I've been seeing the timeline say Mercedes ain't got no bars, but I haven't gave a full listen to it outside of what we saw in AEW. Me personally, I like the theme song she had in New Japan. I don't know why that wasn't transitioned over, because I felt like that identified with her a lot more.
It's
that's the one that I was really expecting to hear when she returned or when she came to AW.
Yeah.
But I didn't give it a download, but I gave it a listen. It's all right.
I like what you did there. I like what you did there. That's very specific. Yeah.
Very specific. I don't know if everybody caught
that. You streamed it, but you didn't keep it. I catch your drift. So.
Yes. Yes.
I am not gonna lie.
Yeah. Here's what I think would be really smart. I'd rather listen to the Boss and the Snoop Dogg remix version
than that.
what I think would be smart in this case, if it were me, if I were the producer, I would have released the instrumental version of it and just left the chance of CEO in because that would have, I think, hit harder. Like, for instance, we have no lyrics to Trick Williams' theme song.
We don't need it.
And we don't need it. That joint goes, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, maybe this is one of those cases that we could have just gotten the CEO chance and kept it moving. Now, I have heard that Mercedes is working on a project. I don't know if it's going to involve her rapping, singing, or what. But I have heard that she is working on a project. Ooh. So
I don't know if the Snoop Gene carried over. So I don't I don't know.
Mercedes, if you're seeing this, don't do it. Don't do it.
And not to be like completely there's a lot of wrestlers that transcend to other passion projects, and a lot of them tend to be music, so there are a lot of good musicians out there. I know Tez's music is great if you haven't like listened to his stuff. AJ Francis' music is great if you haven't listened to it. So maybe they're with the right production. Mercedes does produce like a nice EP. We'll see.
I'll make a phone call to your cousin.
We will see. The chat is saying quite a bit. Let's see. Bobby says, in the future, I'd like to see Mercedes win the Strong Women's Championship. That could be a possibility. Wrestling hurts a lot. Get your money. Broke people speak a weird language that I don't understand. Special nobodies. Yeah, you, sir. I promise you keep working on that that comment of the day, because this could be 2 days in a row for you. Boza says, I was expecting her New Japan theme to carry over. I didn't give it a full listen. I wonder if Mercedes puts out an album. Well, it's a plan. Special Little Nobodies. This song is like if Sexy Red had a brain injury. I don't know what to do with that.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to do with that.
That's heavy.
With this theme, it feels like she came out with something fans couldn't chant CEO throughout, and we couldn't hear the track. I think they meant could chant CEO without. And I will say, I thought it was brilliant that they had the CEO chant already in there to teach people what they wanted to do right out of the gate. I thought
you
that
need
was
something
brilliant.
To catch on. You needed to be catchy.
I thought that was brilliant. And you know, we'll see in time if they choose to re-release this. But in case you'd like to listen to it for yourself, because, you know, everybody's musical tastes are different. So go ahead and check it out. It's available wherever you stream or download music, and you can choose to stream or download. Sticking in AEW, if you watched Collision, there was a shocker that happened as Collision introduced the tag team title tournament. The bracketology, as they called it, happened Friday night on Rampage, and we got our first match. It was a wild card match as the Infantry took on the House of Black in the main event of Collision. And when it was all said and done, the Captain Sean Dean and Bad News and Tattoos Carly Bravo advanced to the next round of the tournament by defeating the House of Black. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this match on in multiple ways. I want to get your thoughts. The Infantry already breaking and busting brackets in AEW's tag team title tournament. What are your thoughts?
Can I just say, these guys got mauled. These guys got ran over during that match, and they still broke through. And of course, it wasn't because of them. It was because of outside interference with Mr. Briscoe. That part upset me. Because you guys know why. I'm an advocate for House of Black and everything Malachi, and they still got my dude jobbing. I don't understand it. I hated it. I hated the ending. But these guys are dope.
I think a lot of people had a negative reaction to House of Black losing, but you mentioned you just said a very important quote because we're in that season. You said bracket buster. So a lot of people didn't know who the wild card participants would be. And here we go, kind of kicking off March Madness season a week before. So it's brilliant to do that because you have a different layer of interest in the tournament now when you have somebody who's probably a favorite exit early. It's exactly what we're going to see in a couple of days with March Madness starting, I think, tomorrow.
Right.
Just forward thinking by AEW booking, which is we had to praise them for that. Honestly, it's brilliant.
I mean, everything from, and it's funny because then we talked now, I guess it's 2 weeks ago, maybe a little longer than 2 weeks ago, leading into Sting's retirement match. The question was, you know, what would happen to the AEW tag team titles? And, you know, the thought in our chat was give it a tournament. Tony loves tournaments. I don't know that we all thought about tournaments during March Madness. It's brilliant. And, you know, it says to me a lot about this upward turn that AEW is on right now. You know, the forward thinking to not just do a tournament, which they're known for, but doing a tournament during tournament season.
A tournament within a tournament.
Yeah, like it's a brilliant move. And now with that said, I think there were two amazing things at work. Number one, you have the wild card bracket busting kind of thing. But for those who are unfamiliar with the infantry, I think, you know, this is a great way to get connected to the infantry. I feel like as I say this, MDB is going to show up because that's just how it works. The infantry, for those who don't know, have been on Ring of Honor for quite some time, and they have really been making waves there. I've got a unique connection to both of these guys. I've worked with them in Southern Honor and with Carly Bravo. I was literally there for his very first match at the Nightmare Factory. Wow. I've been calling his work ever since. And so, you know, the night he got signed to All Elite happened at Southern Honor, and I was on the call for that and watching them ascend. And I was actually there last week when they debuted on Collision in Atlanta. And so just watching this is a great, great thing. And I think it says a lot about what AEW thinks of this tag team, the infantry. You could argue that, you know, AEW, it's been a minute since they've had homegrown stars. Here are your homegrown stars right here. You know, a tag team that is super cool. Think about how cool you have to be to have a Magic City chant happening. Now, if you don't live in Atlanta and don't know what Magic City is, well, you're nodding your head, said, because you already understand. Magic City is a world-renowned club for gentlemen of all ages.
I can't speak about my relationship to that club, but I can say that their wings are amazing.
I have heard nothing but amazing things about the food there. I have not gone, but I've heard nothing but great things. And people keep egging me on, like, you need to go for the wings. And I'm like, I don't know how that would look for me to be in that spot. I wish they had Uber Eats, but, you know, so be it. But Magic City getting a chant at an AEW event is because of how popular the infantry are. And so, again, in a world where, you know, people are upset about AEW signing stars from WWE, we then have to become good with them building homegrown stars. And I think that's what we have here with the infantry and them getting this kind of win. If they don't win another match in this tournament, they got the win. And people forget that the captain is one of the very few people to have two wins over MJF. He's got a win. I mean, like, it's kind of wild seeing the people he has wins over at this point. So it's pretty awesome to see this moment for the infantry. And let's see, there's
it could be a nice Cinderella story too if you really want to have the March Madness feel. They can be the Cinderella totally story could. That does pick up a few wins and gets to the quarterfinals or something of that nature.
It'd be amazing. It really, really would be amazing. Lots of great support here for the infantry. Bobby says the infantry is great. Eric says congratulations to the infantry. Uh-oh, honey. And maybe the end of House of Black. Ooh.
Ooh. I don't know if I like the sound of that.
Bobby says, I could see them wrestling against FTR in the next round. Well, good news, Bobby. They are wrestling against FTR in the next round. Cousin Ron stoked for a TV win for the infantry. That's a big deal. Tony Tournament Con. That's funny. I'm here for it. down it the valley where the... I don't know what that means.
Down in the valley where the girls
where the girl get... Somebody
that
knows.
Supposed to be a lyric about Magic City or something.
I feel like I should be able to finish that lyric, but I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, boy. Well, Special Little Nobody's agrees with you said that the wings are bomb at Magic City. Said tells no lies.
So look, sure. I've never been there personally, but I had a friend visit Atlanta, and I told her to go there just because the wings were really popular around this time of the pandemic. And she actually brought me back wings from Atlanta. Like,
wow.
Packed them from there, brought them back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's they held up. They held up. They're really good.
Now, if they held up during the trip, that says even more.
Right.
That says even more.
Uber and Bobby, get on it.
Yeah, yeah. So I need Uber Eats. Bobby says that Trisha Dora was on Collision. She was, had a great match. Did this really crazy move where she did this.
She stretched out Julia and she split on her. That was insane.
Oh,
insane. I was like, oh well, okay.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Ma'am. Okay. Yeah, wait, hello. Ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Like, hello.
Hello.
Goodbye.
It was amazing. So Special Little Nobodies clarifies where this lyric is from. This lyric is from P-Valley. So there it is.
Didn't watch it.
You guys can check it out. I think that's on the Stars Network for those who have not checked it out. But congratulations to the infantry. Some really, really cool news. Shocking the world, breaking Barrett. What am I trying to say?
Barrier?
Breaking. No. Brackets. That's the word brackets. I'm looking for. My brain went just mush. Good Lord. Yeah, they are breaking brackets, changing the world. And speaking of world changers, it's a world changing moment when the man visits the White House. But that happened over the weekend as well. By the way, let's look at this championship tournament, which again, the infantry will now face FTR. And on that side of the bracket, you also have Ricky Starks and Big Bill taking on Top Flight. On the left-hand side of the bracket, you've got the Young Bucks battling Private Party. That's a rematch, actually, from the first round of the original AEW World Title Tag Title Tournament. The Undisputed Kingdom will battle the wild card winner, and that will be the Best Friends against the Don Callis family. And I believe that happens this Wednesday night. I think it's on Rampage. And in case you didn't know, we'll talk about this more Wednesday. 3 hours of AEW Wednesday, as they will have Dynamite, and then Rampage will air directly after. So set your DVRs. A live episode of Rampage is always intriguing. Now then, the man did indeed make her visit to the White House yesterday. She was there representing WWE on St. Patrick's Day as well, which I think is pretty awesome. Took some time to visit the book club there at the White House and get a picture with the current president, President Joe Biden. Now, this is interesting for a lot of reasons, because WWE, honestly, since 2016 or so, has been very clandestine when it comes to political opportunities and political photos. If you remember, prior to the 2016 election, they would almost always have the presidential candidate represent on an episode of Monday Night Raw or something. And they were, you know, usually bipartisan in that. So, you know, they'd have whoever the candidate was, say something, you know, look super cool, et cetera, et cetera. I think they realized in 2016, the whole Trump era got too controversial. And so they just stayed away from all things politics. So seeing this is very interesting. Also, you'll note on this picture, her book, which she has right there in the White House library. Her book, of course, is on the way very, very soon. It'll drop next week, actually. Of course, helping us lead into WrestleMania week. What are your thoughts, guys, on Becky Lynch visiting the White House? This seems like a really big moment.
It's definitely a big moment for her. I don't think the White House realizes how big time they just became with Becky being there. But I think, it's the luck of the Irish on her side, and then doing it on St. Patrick's Day. Like, I think that's a very, very big deal for her, coming from where she's come from. And I think that's it actually is funny, because we haven't seen anything political done with or collaboration with the WWE in a while. So it's kind of interesting to see it, but only the man can pull it off as big time as she is. And she's about to be a best-selling author, or currently is a best-selling author, apparently, because apparently this book is going to be really good. I'm definitely going to be getting a copy of that myself. I have to anyway, because I am going to one of her signings. So I'm pretty excited about that. So kudos to the man.
Kudos indeed. Said.
Yeah, this is a really big deal. Like, regardless of like where you stand in the political spectrum, just being able to go to the White House and promote your book, that means they're really about to hype up this, you want to call it, I still think this might be a little bit of a farewell tour, but kind of hyping up Becky Lynch as we get into Mania season with probably one of the biggest matches of her career against Rhea Ripley. So being able to sell her book with any type of exposure is huge right now. So I'm glad to see it. And then piggybacking on what Professor said, that 2016 time, it was, I feel like that could have alienated a large part of the fan base, where, yeah, you can probably do so now still, because it's still very touchy, but it does say a lot that she was able to, on St. Patrick's Day, kind of be able to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it says a lot. Not getting too terrifically political, but part of the challenges during that time is, you know, Vince McMahon's wife was part of the presidential cabinet. And, you know, there was certainly a time where the WWE would have absolutely, you know, broadcast that to the world. But they kept that extremely quiet because they obviously understood how polarizing that was. So, again, I think for them to allow this moment to be publicized, I think says a lot. Said.
I just had another thought, because when you look at the both sides of TKO and Endeavor, obviously WWE, UFC, WWE doing this part with the current President Biden. Meanwhile, UFC has been trotting out the former President Donald Trump to every event. I find that very peculiar, and I wonder if there's a rhyme or reason for that now.
That's a great observation.
You just opened a rabbit hole.
Wow. That is quite the observation. I had not even considered that, but there's something to be said. And I also wonder, again, how much of this, to your point, is because we're under new ownership. You know, some of the rules are obviously a little bit different, you know, rolling with TKO. So
look, if we start seeing Joe with more WWE talent here and the rest of the year, buckle up, because that's gonna
get real interesting. Really interesting.
Especially being the fact that Trump has history with the WWE. Well,
not only does he have history, he's still currently in their Hall of Fame.
And in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's one of the things I mean, besides the fact that he was in a the shave your head bald competition against the
WrestleMania
man
23.
And then he was also wasn't he like a GM or something like that?
He had a whole commercial free show.
Oh my lord.
Yeah. The very unique relationship between the WWE and Donald Trump. But speaking of things that could certainly change with the WWE under new ownership, there's a very interesting report out there in talking about the Hall of Fame that says that with Vince McMahon no longer in power, there's actually a greater possibility that a certain superstar might make their way to the Hall of Fame. That is this gentleman, Owen Hart, which is just kind of wild even saying that. But it is strongly believed that the possibility could grow. And this comes from, of all people, Jim Ross, he was asked about this on his recent podcast, Grilling JR. And he says at this point, the roadblock, of course, was Martha Hart in getting all of this done. He said, time will tell. He said, I can see it being able to be a lot easier to work out now that Vince McMahon is out of the picture. Apparently, Vince McMahon was her roadblock. So we'll see what happens. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. Now that Vince McMahon is out of the way, do you think that there's the possibility that Owen Hart could at some point be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
Could he? Yes. And should he? Yes. I believe he should. I could. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just me being oblivious to maybe things that have been reported about it, but I'm honestly not sure if I see what the problem was with having Owen in it, being that, you know, like, this is one of those cases, Professor, where, as you said before, this is somebody, you look at him like not maybe you shouldn't be in there, but why is it more like, why isn't he in there? You know, that's just me personally with knowing and seeing what I've seen growing up and watching Owen since I was a kid. So it's just like, what, and knowing that he's from the Hart dynasty and, you know, affiliated with Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, British Bulldog, been in the ring with the best of them, you know, and he had definitely made an impact that grew on the wrestling community back then. And, you know, obviously it was just a tragedy when he had suddenly died in the middle of a pay-per-view. But I don't see why he wasn't even in there in the first place. I'm not sure why Vince was being the roadblock about it, but I don't know if we'll ever know that reason. But regardless, I think that Owen is definitely more than deserving of being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't recall the actual reason. I feel like it was just a dispute between Martha and WWE where maybe it's some along the lines of profiting off his likeness in instance of that. But I think if Vince was the final roadblock there, now they can actually do it the right way with the Hart family, who was obviously related to Owen and possibly as a headline inductee of the Hall of Fame. I think acknowledging his career, I know they did the Owen Hart tournament thing in AEW, but his career was in the WWF. And I think them being able to have their style of production and being able to showcase some of his work that a lot of fans over these past two decades are probably not familiar with, I think that would be a great look just to kind of have that legacy portrayed the right way and then have that legacy wing on the WWE network for today's fans to know who Owen Hart was.
Yeah. In terms of the reason why Owen Hart has not been inducted into the Hall of Fame, it has certainly had nothing to do with his career. His career was by all means a worthy career, and he was well loved by so many. The issue really did last with it lied with Martha Hart, his wife, who, you know, blamed Vince McMahon specifically for the death of Owen Hart. There was a lawsuit that was involved, and she even publicly had said, because apparently the WWE has attempted to they've reached out to induct him into the Hall of Fame before, but she's refused, not wanting anything to do with the WWE, and again, specifically blames Vince McMahon for this. So with Vince McMahon being out of the way, I think it's interesting that Jim Ross specifically answered the question that way, because he would know, being very closely connected to all that happened during that time. He was there when it all happened. He had to make the announcement. He's seen a lot of the things that happened behind the scenes. So he would certainly know. I will say this, if indeed the WWE is able to come to terms on a way to induct Owen Hart, I do believe it would absolutely be in a headline capacity. And I think it would be a massive deal, like a huge deal. Think about how wild it is that the WWE never was able to offer Owen Hart merch. You know, all of those things were, again, controlled by Martha Hart, who, you know, I completely understand why she felt the way that she did. And it was actually a very big deal for her to even agree to do what she did with AEW, because at one point she didn't want anything to do with the wrestling business. So we'll see. You know, the thing about the wrestling business is we're in a world where we never say never. And we have seen, you know, when Bret Hart was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, it was a massive deal. And he was still so upset that he did not attend WrestleMania the next day. You know, all kinds of things are possible in this space. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Owen Hart. Last but not least, this is an interesting story to end with. Nikita Lyons was actually on Instagram live today with Booker T as part of a his podcast, The Hall of Fame. A lot of Hall of Fame references today. But she was on there and she was talking specifically today about her timeline for a return. Of course, she has been out of action now for a few months. She tore her meniscus and her ACL back in January of 2023. She came back in December of 2023, but then we've not seen her since January 9th of this year. And so she was on that podcast, and she went on to tell people that it's been 2 months since her surgery, and she does have a timeline right now for when she thinks she will return, and she looks at that timeline to be Halloween Havoc, which is October of this year. Hey. That's when you can expect to see her back. So that's it's so almost like she's missed two full years, you know?
Yeah. That's rough.
It is rough. And if you think, go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel so bad for her because like I when we first found out and broke news that she was injured and she was going to be out for quite some time, I just remember myself saying, I it's like she can't get a break or well, she can't get a chance to even showcase or get that far in what she wants to do in the ring because of so said setbacks and stuff like that. So it's going to be good to see her come back, but I just really pray that this is, you know, third time's a charm. This is one of those situations where I pray the third time's a charm and it works out for her. But it's still,
do we know if it was the same knee?
A long way.
I'm not sure if it was the same knee. I don't know if it would be good or bad if it was, you know. But let's see. I don't see any. Though I have a quote for you that I think. Well, the quote will likely speak for itself, and you all can do what you want to do with this quote. But she said, and I quote,
Michael Cole,
y'all are not going to see this brick house blow down.
Well, all right.
You know what? It could be a blessing in disguise. Somebody of her attributes coming back right around the time of the CW.
That is the time frame. Halloween Havoc, they will be on the CW at that point. And so it could really be a thing.
Wow.
It could really be a thing. So, yeah.
You got to change that move set up.
Interesting choice of words, too.
it is an interesting choice of words. That's a direct quote from her. Eric says, miss her and her feud with Lash Legend was awesome. I actually think if they were to go at it again now, I think Lash Legend could do a lot more damage right now.
Lash would have her number for now, for sure.
Yeah, she absolutely would. Bobby says, Nikita does have potential. Maybe she could train with Booker T at Reality of Wrestling. We'll see. You know, part of the challenge that she has, obviously, when you have a surgery like that is, you know, you got to be careful with your training and things of that nature. Hopefully there can be some sort of safety for her in how she gets things done.
With that being said, Charlotte Flair, chill the hell out with these videos. You're going too hard. Take your time.
Yeah, I don't want her to
blow through it.
Trying to blow through it.
She's excited that she's ahead of schedule. Maybe those videos are old.
Now that would be even scarier. Don't say that. That'd be frightening.
I'm just saying, you know how they like to you know, mess with our minds in the internet and like put a timeline on something and then like change it up, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
It's crazy. So couple of things before we go. Of course, we got an episode of Monday Night Raw as we are continuing on the road to WrestleMania. Raw should be very interesting tonight. As tonight there will be the contract signing for the Intercontinental Championship match. Plus, there is a last woman standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. That should get really, really crazy. And who knows whatever else could happen on Monday Night Raw tonight. Anything else that we're supposed to mention here?
We have three tag team matches for the qualification for the six pack. And these tag team matches, I think, are going to slap. Two of them definitely are going to slap.
Yeah, it should should make for a very interesting night. Let's see. One of those tag team matches involves the Awesome Truth taking on Indus Sheer. Then we've got DIY taking on the Creed Brothers. Then this one's going to slap too. The Alpha Academy and the New Day. So three great tag team matches all happening tonight. Again, I'm starting to wonder, is Teddy Long returning as the general manager tonight with all these tag team matches? but it's pretty exciting. It should be a great, great night of Monday Night Raw. All right. Anything else that we need to mention before we wrap up? Actually, Bobby's got an interesting question. He says, do you guys think that we'll see Chad Gable show up tonight at the contract signing on Raw?
Possibly.
I still believe there's a angle there like that they have to do. And no shade to Sammy. I think Sammy jumped on a podcast. Booker T said that Sammy was a little bit taken back about how the fan reaction was. It's just that with Sammy getting that match, it's like, I don't think it's believable that Gunther would lose. And we're already well over 600 days now, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've shattered the record at this point. So it's like, what are we doing? how much more time do we need with that belt? What are we doing?
Interesting. Do you think he returned? Chad Gable shows up tonight, honey.
I think, well, he's definitely going to be around tonight because he, Alpha Academy has a tag team match and it is Tozawa and Otis, not Gable.
Correct.
So I think that's definitely something that could possibly happen. I'm not sure if Gable's entirely Sammy done ankle. With Gunther, obviously.
Did you say break Sammy's ankle?
I'll break Sammy's ankle. Just go full unhinged.
Oh my God.
I want Shawn Michaels level unhinged and just go break that man's ankle and say how much you need this.
Holy cow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, we're going to get you guys ready for Monday Night Raw. By the way, before we do, I will say if you guys get a chance to go to a WWE live event, you should do that. There's all kinds of fun things that happen at these live events and, you know, people take pictures and they spend time with fans and it's just a great, great situation show. So I had a chance to go to a live event in Augusta this weekend and that was a lot of fun. So if you guys get a chance to do it, you absolutely should head to a WWE live event. Said, how can the people find you?
You can find me in these Twitter streets at Sed Says, at CEDD_SAYS. On the gram, it says the answer. Occasionally, I write for DailyDDT.com, and I do news reporting and a bunch of other things. You can check that out on my website, which I will update at some time. That's CedricDWalton.com. Got a lot of articles I got to write, a lot of things I got to do for this platform, WWT, I am here Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And hit up my tag team partner, @_JDella. Don't talk to me. Talk to him and tell him how much you want an NXT post show. It is not in my hands.
Mm. Or do you need a new tag team partner?
Ooh, I don't know. Ooh, that's spicy.
Professor trying to stir up a pot.
You know how it goes when you're
I'm just the Marty Jannetty. That's.
Oh, shit.
But see, here's the problem. Marty Jannetty was actually the better part of that tag team. It's Shawn Michaels that ended up being the better solo star, but that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
There it is. I saw what you did there. How can the people find you, honey?
You can find me here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with the crew at WWT Live. Follow me on Facebook, Wrestling W Honey, Instagram, Wrestling with Honey, TikTok, Wrestling with Honey, and the YouTube will be up soon, Wrestling with Honey Podcast.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. We like to see that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am here for that. That's going to be very, very entertaining, I'm sure. You guys can find me at Bonner Fight across all of the socials. Just dropped a new video today you guys might be interested in, where I tell you the 7 things I like the most about pro wrestling. So you guys can check that out at Bonnerfied on all those spaces. You can check out my commentary work with IWE and Southern Honor Wrestling, available right now on IWTV. Check that out. You can check out my work with All Caribbean Wrestling, which, by the way, if you've not done that, they've been releasing a number of matches from the event that we were a part of back in February called Say It Loud 4. Some great, great matches. There's a battle royal on there where I'm doing commentary with the ACW heavyweight champion, Elijah Burke, a.k.a. the Pope. So you guys can check that out. And then there's a great main event match on there as well. Chris Bay, who at that time was one half of the TNA Tag Team Champions, against Lince Dorado, doing commentary for that and all of those matches there. So check that out as well. Tomorrow night, I will be with the Nightmare Factory for Student Showcase Camp 13. That should be a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure Cody will be in the house, as he usually is for these. If you guys are in the Atlanta area, you guys can check that out. It's in my stories. Ashe Wrestling, we've got another show coming in April. We just made an announcement about that, so you guys can check that out. And you will likely be seeing or hearing my voice in some promos connected to that. So be on the lookout. And again, you can check out both of those shows where you'll get to actually see me on camera there. AsheWrestling.com. Of course, you'll see me here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and whenever else the boss lady asks me to. And speaking of the boss lady, you can follow her at TK Trinidad. And remember, if you really, really love her, for Women's History Month, send her all sorts of pictures, memes, GIFs of the great Trick Williams. She will love you forever. She might even send you something back in return. Flood her space. Do it. Do it. I mean, she'll love you for it.
Don't if we could find a life-size cutout, like, definitely do that. Mm-hmm. Do that. Let's crowdfund that.
And we have to have the cutout, like if it could hold her and blow out the kissy face, like it was, like she's Lash, like she's replacing Lash.
You know, Dylan could probably make that happen. Dylan's that guy. He could automatically put her face in there and do that. It could make that happen. So absolutely. Now make sure you are checking us out at WW Talk Pod across all the socials, and then checking out the website. There's some great interviews there honoring Women's History Month, some brand new things that are up there, so you guys can check that out. Also, you can check out the merch store as well, www.talkpodstore.com. Oh, God, this is great. Oh, wow. Wow, this is great. Wow, this is great.
That's comment of the day.
Wow. Whoop that, TK. Wow. 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 Man, oh man. Yeah. So check out the merch and all of the things. I am just hollering. Hey, listen, again, another amazing show. Some more record numbers. You guys are tuning in and we love to see it. Special little nobodies, Bobby, Cousin Ron, Matt, let's see, Eric, Cindy, good to see you. Let's see, Bobby Boza, of course. And everybody who joined us that was not in the chat room, thank you for watching and paying attention. We appreciate all that you are doing. We will be back here on this platform again on Wednesday in 48 hours, where who knows what will happen, but we'll be here to talk all about it as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's let's try that again. You know, I'm going to tell you what happened. I had the new thing in my head and the old thing wanted to come out, and I'm trying to be consistent with the new branding that we're doing. So let's try it again. The number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.